Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com. Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio. She's got a biscuit in her mouth. On Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk /2. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews.
And me.
And my co-host.
Me, Dribbling Mess.
The absolutely lovely Miz on a bike. Or bird, as she's
in my new apparel.
In her new apparel, yeah. Mm. You're really chuffed with us, aren't you?
Oh, my. I'm so proud.
And so you should be.
I am so proud because I've been thinking about it for I've been talking about it, haven't I, for ages and ages.
You have?
Yeah. So I'm very excited. I might even run the London Marathon with it on.
Really?
Bit of chafing.
Oh, you don't want to chafe.
Do not want to chafe.
You don't want to chafe, no.
Do you know what? When you run the London Marathon, they've got people.
Yeah, I know.
What, you both have done it, have you? Why are you saying you both know?
I don't know.
Hold on, sorry, I'll turn
okay,
you on.
Thanks, Lee.
Tell me.
I'll tell you, love. So, what they do is they stand ready there with Vaseline for you to put in places if you're chafing. So, sort of about mile 18.
I applied for that job, but let me do it.
Yeah.
The Vaseline applicator.
Pardon, love?
Do you put the Vaseline on yourself
yes,
or does someone apply
always.
It?
No, you don't want anybody going anywhere.
Blimey.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
But did you still chafe?
No, I've never chafed at a marathon.
Do you know what? The thing about this show is you never stop learning, do you?
No, you don't, yeah.
Never.
Sore skin and everything, yeah. I've had a tweet from Athelbray. We've a challenge for Pancake Day enthusiasts. Instead of giving up something tomorrow for Lent, how about we all undertake a random act of kindness every day for 40 days? We can all do without chocolate, but sometimes it's harder to be kind to a stranger for no reward. It's not a bad idea, is it?
Do you know what I do? And it drives my family insane. I
hate to think, but...
Stephen's like, oh, my God, what's she going to say now? But here's what I do. Do you know what? I have the greatest respect for road cleaners or sweepers. And I always stop and say to him, thank you so much for doing that, because it's a thankless task.
And they go, don't drop that, love.
I've done that bit. The biggest ones are the community ones that go out. They've got their little jackets on. They all go around and they clean up community and they all meet. And nobody says thank you to them. And I always say to them, thank you for doing that, because it really means something to me, because it is a thankless task.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I've got one that I've always taught my children to do. And it's up to you what you want to do with this one. But you know, there's a certain food chain that if you have so many cups of coffee as a sticker, you get a free one at the end.
Yep.
The free one always goes to a homeless person. It's not for you. You hand that over.
Nice.
You're not giving them money. You're giving them their free cup of coffee. Mm. And the same with your doggy bag. You leave Pizza Hut or wherever else with your three or four slices. You didn't need it because you've already left it.
Good point.
Hand it across.
Absolutely.
It's not ridiculous. It doesn't cost loads of money. But wherever you are, don't throw it away. Put it in a goodie bag. Hand it over to someone in need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And while we're talking about that, I've got to tell you, this is a funny story, and this happened to me in Canterbury, and this is going to cause all sorts of havoc now, so get ready for Twitter to go mental. I got a whit-woo on Saturday.
You did what?
I got a whit-woo.
Did you?
Hold on. What's a whit-woo?
Whit-woo.
A wolf whistle.
If you want to call it that.
That's not what they call it in the West Country.
A whit-woo.
But it's funny, because Stephen went to one place,
Is that like having your own owl?
possible.
Well, listen, like, we went to Canterbury, we're walking through, Stephen went off to one place, I've gone back to the car, I'm walking on my own, and two homeless guys sat on the floor, went whoop whoop, and I was like, oh, thanks very much. I felt really lovely, isn't that lovely?
Was it a coffee, a pound?
Nothing, they gave me a whip woo, that was it. And I felt amazing for the rest of the day. Stephen got back in the car, I said, I've just got a whip woo. He said, that's nice, who from? I told him, he laughed. But it was nice.
But I thought we weren't allowed to do that anymore.
I know, and that's what then we went into deep discussion about. What a shame that people feel that they don't find that. I think it's quite nice. Yeah. If they'd said something else quite derogatory, like other things,
yeah,
I wouldn't have found that. So, yeah. But I just thought, oh, wow, that's really nice.
I know, I miss it. I really miss it.
What, being able to give a whip-woo?
No, people whip-woo me.
How long you missed that for?
Years. 62 and a half years so far.
You do get whip-woos. Amanda gives you whip-woos all the time.
I told you not to mention that. Right. Anyway, I've got a tweet from Nucleus Arts. Yeah. Hello. We're the Nucleus Arts, part of the Halpin Charitable Foundation, providing support for people interested in creativity. We have regular workshops, exhibitions, and much more, not to mention our unique cafe. Why not pop along? And they say, hashtag Business Bunker. Do give them a follow, Nucleus Arts on Le Twitter. Bird.
Swanley, 3rd Wednesday networking meeting. Wednesday the 21st of February, 10:30 till 12, Swanley Park Cafe in Swanley, funny enough. I like this because it's 10:30 till 12, love it. And also it's the 21st of February, which excites me because we know that spring is round the corner. So they're helping managing this event, the catering purposes. Please can you register for attendance? So entrance is for chamber members, is free, and guests can join for £10. Guests can pay online and members can pre-register here. So you need to go into info@sevenoakschambers.com and that's for the 21st of February.
Fantastic. Crepes at Jarman's. Join us for a free evening of networking on Pancake Day at Jarman's. That's Bell House, ME104DH. That's in Sittingbourne area, in association with the Kent Invicta Chamber. That's tonight. We had 130 people last time, so let's try and set another record. 6 p.m. tonight at Jarman's Solicitors, Bell House, ME104DH. Get along. I've also had a tweet from Molly Moodle Media, which isn't easy to say. And they say, hello, Business Bunker. We're currently fixing some tech issues, which is driving us a bit crazy. Well, you will. They're using Outlook, that's why. So if we could get a shout out to make our day a little better, we'd really appreciate it. Have a great show, Vanilla Web and team. That'll be you, Bird.
Yeah, I don't get a bird anymore. I'm completely anonymous in anywhere now.
No, your team, your end team.
Huh. Anyway, just because we were talking about women and it might get people going, Breakthrough Women in Business, International Women's Day, Thursday the 8th of March, 10:30 till 3. It's at the Orangery. We did mention it because Deborah Turner asked me to. But this is Breakthrough Women is back with style to mark International Women's Day. Breakthrough Women aims to celebrate Kent's women in business and raise the visibility of women succeeding in business, as well as having the chance to meet and network with dynamic ladies. Guests will hear from fantastic female speakers from a variety of backgrounds. Now, I know these speakers. These are amazing speakers that they've got. So they've got... this is in association now with the Institute of Directors, Kent Women in Business magazine and the Federation of Small Businesses. They've got Dr. Sue Black, OBE, who was recently named as one of the top 50 women in tech in Europe. And she was also nominated as the 119th most influential woman in the world. She beat me.
Were you 120?
Yep. Due to public demand, we also have... back, Dr. Patricia Lewis, who I love. She was one of my guests on my show. She's amazing. And she's a reader in management at Kent Business School and an expert in gender. So I would like to question her in the whip-wooing as well, what she would find out with that. Because we've all got different opinions. Every woman in business is welcome, and why not try and bring a friend? So that's Dr. Sue Black, that's Dr. Patricia Lewis, and Sarah Luxford, who's passionate and advocate of diversity in the workplace. And that is on the 8th of March.
National Women's Day.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. And thank you for Deborah for tweeting about that as well. Good. Do you know what? We're going to talk to another guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker show, Laura Turner of Noted in Style, award-winning company. Maybe we'll talk about that first. But I'll tell you what we'll do first. First of all, tell us a little bit about you, Laura, and a bit about your company. And then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well,
Well, I don't have my own cycling range, unfortunately. Shout about.
So. But you've got great range. You've brought in for us. You brought us gifts and flowers.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, we handcraft items. So we handcraft bespoke stationery and packaging for the corporate market. So I have a fantastically passionate team down there in sunny Folkestone who are
I have to tell you, listener, Laura has bought us in. We're going to put pictures up of this later. Each of us, she's bought a notebook, which is a gorgeous notebook, and mine's in my corporate colours with my name on it and the name of my company. It's absolutely fabulous. I love bribery.
If it works, it works.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do what you can, do what you can. So, yeah, paper is not dead. I know we all live in a digital world. Obviously, the other guest is here to promote digital.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the two complement.
We'll keep you apart, don't worry.
Yeah. Well, no. We're great friends, actually, because the point in life is that you need a bit of yin and yang, don't you?
Ebony and ivory and all that,
yin and yang. So you need your digital strategy and you need your everyday post things people can touch. So we work really hard to make beautiful products with your brand on it.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute, because obviously that's going to be a major talking point, isn't it? Is why would you produce paper when we're supposed to be in a paperless society? And I'll tell you some of my experiences of paperless societies in a bit as well. But before you do that, give us a bit of background to your business. Why? What made you want to start the business? When did you start the business? And tell us a bit about the award you won a little while ago at the Ashford Business Awards.
Well, I wanted to start the business because I had a previous life in the legal profession and I decided to retire from that. And I'm unemployable, is what I always tell people. Totally unemployable. So the only thing I could do was start something.
Mm.
And I have to say, there's no extravagant plan to how I've ended up here. It started purely by accident.
Good.
Total accident. I was just desperately thinking of what could I do, and by chance the other director, who is also my partner, sent out some gifts to his clients because he ran a graphic design agency, and there were books with the logo on, and he got great feedback. And then I sat there and I thought, people are asking him where he got these done. And it literally walked into our front door and I said, I've been sat here trying to think, what can I do? Surely it's come and hit us in the face. So from that, it was just in a bedroom, spare bedroom, started it up and it went from there. And we're now 15 of us in a warehouse that we've just bought, you know, looking to expand despite Brexit for the future. So it was pure chance. Pure chance that it's led to a path I'd never have imagined, but you know, it's been an exciting journey.
I'm so glad you said that, because I just get so fed up with the amount of people that tell me they spotted a gap in the market and the earlier, they never did. Most things are chance. I'm as an entrepreneur, I'm not a goal setter. I don't believe in plans. I don't do any of that. I just do stuff. And if it's fun and it works, I carry on doing it. If it don't, I stop and do something else. So I love this element of chance in it.
I do think you have to leap on the chances.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, no, exactly. You have to do it. Yeah.
There's a difference between, I think lots of people have opportunities and they don't just grab them. And I think sometimes you just have to plunge in head first. Like you were saying, don't just sit there planning about making your something. Just start and do it.
I think
that's the key.
You're absolutely right. The amount of analysis paralysis you get is unbelievable with people trying, what?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I've seen spreadsheets that start from 0 to 2.5 million in 18 months. Got no idea you're going to get there, but the numbers are good.
Yeah, exactly. But they spend ages working on it and, you know, they go, oh, we're almost there, but we just decided to make it pink and, you know, and stuff like that. And you just think, oh, just do it. Just get on and do it. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. And you've chosen to be in a market space that on the face of it could be quite difficult, because we're moving to, you know, away from paper, allegedly. And I'm going to tell you a story from years ago, which is how long this supposed move from paper has been going on. Sad to say, back in the late 1970s, I was the head of technology at Citibank. And my bosses came to me and said, we want a paperless office. And I went, right, okay. And they went, make the office paperless, Paul. And I went, okay. So I just went to the guys and went, don't produce any reports. And they went, what? I went, no, paperless office don't produce any reports. So I just stopped producing reports. And everybody went bonkers. And they went, where's my report? No, paperless office. And they went, no, but I need the reports. No, you said you wanted a paperless office. No paper. Stopped it. And they went, you can't do that. Yeah, I can. We have a totally paperless office. I didn't produce a single report. Totally paperless. And they went, but we want the reports. I go, well, you can look at them online. No, we don't want that. I want them on paper so I can draw on them. And so I had to switch them back on. So that was the end of my paperless office experience in the 70s, and I don't think it's really changed very much from there. Every now and again, big corporates do paperless office stuff, but it never actually pounds into anything. So for you, producing notebooks and other quality paper-based products, first of all, tell us the range of products that you produce at Noted in Style.
Well, notebooks, obviously, is the big one. Every shape, size, colour, texture, whatever you want. Diaries are becoming increasingly popular. They were out of vogue, but they're hugely back in.
Just quick, there's five of us in the studio. Who uses a paper diary still?
Me.
One, two.
Yeah.
Luke, the king of digital.
Digital man.
Digital is dead. Forget digital.
Even I use paper to notes and bits and pieces like that. Yeah, I still have a to-do list on paper to the mockery of everyone else in my office.
And I'll tell you why that is, because it's actually been proven scientifically. There's loads of studies you can read, but you actually think, learn and understand better if you write things down. And that's the disconnect you have with the screen. A screen is great for videos and presentations and for finding topics and interest, but if you have a moment where you suddenly have your big idea, or maybe you're sketching out your, you know, range of cycling wear and you want to think about it or put little pointers to people, when you truly want to engage your brain and think hard about something, most people will resort back to a piece of paper and a pen, and you do your best value thinking, I think, when you do that. I don't think you do your best thinking if you just look at the screen.
No, absolutely. Funnily enough, in my office at home, which is where I work a lot of the time, I've got a big 27-inch iMac. Get me. But I don't have a mouse mat. What I have is a huge doodle pad, which my mouse sits on, and the doodle pad I write on all the time. Not just notes, but as you say, like mind mapping and drawing flow charts and stuff like that, because it is easier to follow when you kind of do it like that. So I totally get that.
Can I just say, and also I've seen so many planners and I really go, I've got these planners and do these creative things. What you've given us is amazing. It's blank. I don't want to be structured in my creativity. I want it to flow. So a doodle pad would be perfect for me. Something that I can write in if I want to doodle, if I want to. It needs to be flowing enough for me, not focused so that it's right. This is my create. You know, what page do I go on for my creative thing? You've lost me. But I get the mickey taken at me every day about my diary. It's in my bag. It's the best thing. I love it.
Who's doing this to you? I'll have a word with them. Tell me the
window. My other half.
Right, okay.
Crush him.
We'll speak up.
Excellent.
Cool. Absolutely. Personally, I don't use a diary. I don't use a paper diary, but I do use paper for other things. And the reason I don't use a paper diary, I think an online diary is easier to link to and stuff like that.
Other people need to access my diary. Yeah. So it'd be no good me having it in my bag.
But I wrote.
It'd be much more useful to me. It wouldn't get filled up the same. But yeah.
But I've got a couple of clients who run massive, massive companies, and they have their own written diary at home. Their wife puts everything in, it's written, da, 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 these are their meetings, and then they've got their
I have a work diary and there you go. Diary.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
I don't have a social life, so I don't have that problem. But I do use vast amounts of paper because I'm always writing notes to myself and stuff like that. So it's interesting. Tell us a little bit about the process, about how you design these things, where you get the paper from. Just as an interest, none of you are old enough to remember this, but certainly Kent in general and the Maidstone area in particular, once upon a time, was a massive, massive area for papermaking.
I didn't know that. You do learn something.
Did you not know that? When I was a kid, I know this was a long time ago, there were 9 paper mills in the Maidstone area alone, because I worked in one of them. That was my first ever job when I left school. I worked in a paper mill making paper.
When you were 4?
When I was 4.
When
I got down from the chimney. Yeah.
We've just developed, actually, we're starting to make our own British-made books where we try and use a mill in the UK to make the paper.
Okay.
So we've just found the right people to work with. It's not in Kent, unfortunately. There aren't any mills in Kent.
No.
But it is in England, and they make the paper in the UK, and we then have a place that binds and makes the blocks, and we then finish and handcraft. So we can say, and we've also found British recovering materials and so on and so forth. So, and that's really our big push for this year is to roll out our British range, because so many more of our customers want the ethically sourced. They want to know where the papers come from, the chain of command, you know, especially when you work with some larger companies, you know, it's really important for them that you can sign their policies. So, and also we love the fact that it's British. We are a British company. We're a creative British company. We love being where we are in Kent. We love the fact that we make things. When you're talking about how excited you are seeing your first range of cycling, well, we get that every time for the clients that we work for. We, you know, making makes us proud is our slogan, because everyone in the office gets so excited. You know, it's not for us, but we see something, we design it, the attention to detail, and we get more excited than the clients nine times out of ten. And that's what we love, you know. The more we can make, and the more we can make using, you know, Kent or English suppliers, that's absolutely fantastic. That's what really is the buzz, the core of what we want to do for the future.
Absolutely.
Despite Brexit.
Paper's a fascinating product. So when I was a kid, my first job when I was asked to leave school was at Turkey Mill.
I love the way he's asked to leave school.
What?
You didn't leave, did you? They left you.
They left me. They moved without telling me. Yeah. A bit like my parents as well. They moved without telling me as well. I worked at Turkey Mill when it was still a working paper mill on the outskirts of Maidstone. If everybody knows it, it's now a business park, but it was a steam-driven paper mill when I worked there. And it was 250 years old as a paper mill. And they made the most wonderful paper. They had a room there full of what are called dandy rolls, which are the things you use to put watermarks in paper. And some of them were 200 years old, absolutely beautiful works of art in their own right. And the paper they made was fantastic. Sadly, we don't make paper like that anymore in the UK. But even when I was young, there were 9 paper mills in Maidstone. 9. But you're doing something about that. You're bringing back good quality paper.
We're bringing back making. Making in this country, people who love to make. So it's really exciting for us. So.
Yeah. And how are you going about doing that, Laura? What's the process that you're going through? Are you finding people to do it? And
well, we make quite a lot in-house, and we have local people. I mean, all our people work in, come from Folkestone. We have a guy who used to work in a leather factory, which closed down. He hadn't been in work for a number of years, and he's now back, and he's super excited about the stuff we make. We've had
So how are you making this? How are you doing it? You got a bucket of pulp.
The paper gets made by another mill in England, so we do have to, you know, let someone else do those parts.
Oh, okay.
So they make the paper for us, yes. No, we're not squishing paper between our toes and things like that. No, unfortunately not.
I'm so sad that when I was younger, I actually made a little home press to make sheets of paper. Well, I nicked the stuff from work, but...
There are quite a lot of YouTube videos showing you how you can make your own paper, because we were like, oh, maybe we should, but it's far too messy.
If anybody thinking of doing it, there's a trick that you need to know, otherwise it will never work. You can make the paper easily. Making the paper's easy. What the problem is when you've made it and you write on it, the ink is absorbed by the paper because it acts like blotting paper. What you have to do is coat it in alum. If you coat it in alum, then it doesn't absorb the ink.
Hang on, I'll just get my notebook out and write down that.
Beautiful notebook. Beautiful notebook, don't you?
Yeah. Laura, you've just moved to new premises. How is your company feeling about that? How do you feel about it? What made you make that massive leap?
It is a massive leap. Thanks for reminding me of the pressure. We now, yes, have a nice warehouse that we are kitting out for us to all be under one roof and bring more equipment in to make more in-house. And it is a big step when you go from, there's probably lots of people out there in businesses that, you know, are starting out or growing, and you get to the point where you have to commit to something. And it is a big step, but it's a big step that brings huge excitement. I mean, for the rest of the team, I mean, they're so... It just brings like a whole fresh perspective, a new change. It's like moving house, isn't it? You love to make it look nice and everything, and it just gives just a buzz to everything that you're now, it's another stage. They know more equipment's coming, more staff are coming, the future is there. It's, you know, embodied in this big building that we want to fill up, and it just helps push you forward. And also it puts pressure on us to make sure the business works, because not only do we have this fantastic team that we can't let down, you know, who are really committed, we've got the premises there that we have to support, and it just drives you forward, adds pressure, but it it, in a good way,
it's
it adds
a massive
pressure.
Step.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Yeah. Massive. It's a great step, but it's massive.
Should we keep saying that? Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel better now, Laura? Yeah.
Yeah,
you've got under massive pressure with this. Yeah.
Huge.
You won an award at the Grow Kent Ashford Business Awards recently.
We did, yes.
And what award did you win?
We won, it was the Small Business Award of the year for the Ashford region. So we were delighted to win that. The team worked so hard. I mean, I'm here speaking, but, you know, the business isn't me. It's everybody else who does everything all the time. Yep. And I just come here to shout about how fantastic they are. So it was really rewarding for me to know that their work is being recognised for everything that they do for all of our customers. And again, it's another thing that just brings that little bit of spring in your step to make everybody feel, yep, you know, we're on the right track and this is what we should be doing. So it's a great thing to enter an award and to, you know, whether or not you win at the end of the day, if you get through and you're shortlisted and you're there in that room, it's a fantastic feeling. You meet so many great businesses. I've met Luke, obviously, through being at the event, and you do get to meet great people who've got similar aspirations to
exactly.
you and who you can talk to and share worries about the stress, share woe, you know, tips, tricks, everything is all
it's great to get recognition for this extreme pressure you're under in growing a business, isn't it? I think we'll stop with that now. To be recognised, as you say, you know, everyone in a room is a winner because they've been nominated and got through to the final rounds anyway. But to be recognised by your customers, your clients, and the business community is a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was fantastic because the people who judged this, you know, award were people who've seen lots of other businesses and they've, you know, seen big businesses as small businesses, and for them to give us a pat, I suppose, on the back and just say, you know, you are heading in the right direction. You can't underestimate how that sort of lifts a weight off your shoulders sometimes when you have got lots of pressure and stress on you that, you know, it's okay, just keep going. So it's a really valuable thing to do, I think. So I'd encourage anyone who's out there who's thinking about it. You've got nothing to lose.
Right.
You know, so enter those awards that you see and take a chance. You never know what may happen. I wasn't expecting to win, and we did.
Absolutely. And you know, there's lots of benefits to being nominated for an award and hopefully winning an award or being recognised in the award finals. And taking advantage of that is good for business. It's good marketing. Yeah,
it is. You get to be on fantastic radio shows.
You get to be on a Business Bunker show and everything. Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. We love what you're doing. I absolutely adore this book. We're going to do some photographs of these later, so you will be able to see the wonderful notebooks that Laura has provided for us. They're absolutely gorgeous, and mine's in my corporate colours, as I said, which is lovely. So you've moved into new premises.
Just about to.
We're about to.
Them look very pretty at the moment. So.
Yeah, getting involved in the making process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other thoughts and plans for the future? Global domination and all that?
Yeah, it is actually world domination.
Yeah.
It's been on our AGM plan every year,
yeah.
And we are gradually creeping forwards towards it. So I fully expect by this time next year when I come back, they may have named an island after us.
Oh, I would have thought so, easily, yeah.
So
So where do you sell at the moment and how do you sell?
We sell to corporates direct and to agencies, so it's all B2B. So anybody can contact us via our website. So we deal with people who only want 25 units, so you can be a small company just wanting to self-promote. We can give you something beautiful to do that. Contact us, our team are fantastic, they'll respond within a few hours. Email us and we'll take it from there, but we're great. We have a team that will talk you through it on the telephone. Services are our thing, so we'll talk you and guide you through it if you've never done it before. At the other end, if you're a massive business, you know, you can do exactly the same and we'll give you the same service whether you're small or large.
Fantastic. So, and if you're China, you can supply a couple of billion books.
Yeah.
No problem. No pressure there.
No pressure.
Yeah. Laura, so give us a shout for your website so that people can come and find out. They can look, they can see what you produce on your website.
Photographs galore. We have a great design team as well who take wonderful photos, so you can see all the people that we've worked for, all the styles you can get. So if you go to notedinstyle.co.uk, have a look around,
Fantastic.
In touch if you're interested.
Lovely. Laura, thank you so much for that.
Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We love what you're doing and we wish you continued success and much power and good luck with your move and your global domination.
Thank you.
And that's lovely. Laura Turner of Noted in Style. Fantastic. Thank you. I've got a tweet from Natalie Benaik. Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout out on today's Business Bunker for the Kent Creative Awards, 16 categories for creatives in Kent, recognising their contribution to the cultural life of the county. Thank you. So do follow Natalie, Kent Creative Art is her Twitter handle, and you can find out how to enter the Kent Creative Awards. As she says, there's many categories to enter. I've been to the last couple of awards ceremonies. They've been really great fun, really good. So do, if you're in the creative industries, do get involved in that. It's really good fun. What you got, Bird?
Oh my gosh, I've got loads of shout outs here. One thing that's really controversial, and it's just been sent through, so, and I love this. I love the fact that we're able to have a full round 360 conversation. So we've got at Maggie Burnsy, at Business Bunker, a little ironic that the woman saying being cat called is a compliment and is also trying to promote International Women's Day. Cat calling is a terrifying experience for many women. I like the fact somebody's come on and started a conversation with us. And as I reply to you, Maggie, I absolutely agree. This was not an incident, by the way, of any harassment at all. And I like to just bring up a conversation on it. So I love the fact that we've got this 360 that somebody doesn't agree with you. Awesome. I like not to be agreed with.
Yeah. You're good at that now, aren't you?
Well, I respect and honour somebody else's opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if this is the way she feels, then I want you to tell us so that we can talk about it.
And it's exactly as I said, really, isn't it? You know, different people have different views on this. And
yeah,
that's the interesting thing.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from a new listener, Future Chatham, and they say, Business Bunker, hello. Future Chatham is an online platform connecting the local community with the future of Chatham. We document the physical, social and economic changes taking place within a diverse maritime town. Hey, give them a follow. Future Chatham on the Twitter.
Western Hanger Castle tours. Learn about the history of a 1,000-year-old castle. We love the castle there. We talked about it last week, didn't we, with a ship in the garden. Wander around the 14 acres of gardens and land and enjoy the tranquility of a bygone era. And they do guided tours, but they are pre-arranged, so you need to book, which is tours@westernhangercastle.co.uk. Go and check them out.
You've got another tweet from Bedfont Scientific. They go, bird on a bike. Give us a shout out on the Business Bunker. Love from the Bedfont family. That's Bedfont Scientific, Bedfont Limited on the Twitter.
Thanks.
You're getting popular today, aren't you?
Two.
Yeah.
Out of trillion.
That's a 50% increase on last week.
Well, it wasn't here.
I know, exactly.
This is what I've got to do with me. It's just like, anyway. What you got?
I'm just trying to see what
I know, it's gone all weird, isn't it?
Yeah, there's just thousands of them, but I want to talk to Luke instead.
Do it.
So let's talk to Luke. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Luke Frake of Space Between onto the show. Luke, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
It's an absolute pleasure. Luke, again, you and another award winner from the Ashford Awards. Which is that how you met, Laura? Was that the awards?
Yeah, we got to meet at the awards. I actually took a photo for them at the beginning of the night.
He was our official photographer.
Yeah. Oh, was he? Yeah.
So on
unofficially official.
On the sideline, I also take fantastic photography.
Do you?
If anyone ever wants to know, no, I really don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good enough to get to Twitter.
Your photography is so good that people win awards for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
100% of people I've taken photos of at an award ceremony have then gone on to win those awards. So
you can't say further than that, really, can you? Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell us a bit about Space Between?
Yeah, so Space Between, we're a digital agency, basically. We're based in Ashford in Kent, but we're working with brands all over. Our focus really has been web development and specifically in kind of the e-commerce space. So there are lots and lots of people that are focusing on this as an area, but our focus on it is trying to make it a little bit more personal. We use a biometric lab, which sounds very, very big and very grand, but actually we use a bunch of sensors basically to understand how people are feeling when they're using a website.
You use what?
A biometric laboratory.
A biometric laboratory.
So write that down. So it's not like paper. It's not like paper.
No.
You've got to write it down because we don't know what it is.
It sounds like they're going to plug you into the grid to check how you're doing while you're doing
it's
it.
It's not far from it. No. It's really, really unobtrusive. But we use this for lots and lots of big clients at the moment. And really, it's simple as anything. What we do is the traditional way of doing sort of user research in our industry was that you'd bring people in, you'd sit them down in front of the thing you want them to test,
sure,
you want them to look at.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you'd go, what do you think?
Yeah.
And because we live in England, everyone goes, It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And really.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, I do it when I get my hair cut every now and again, and my haircut's not very good, and the barber says, what do you think? And I go, absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much. Here's a tip. And I walk out and I think, God.
Oh, God.
Another 4 weeks now till I'm going
to
look.
Yeah, that happened
again.
To me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't start, but yeah.
But yeah, so what this does is rather than us having to ask people how they feel when they use something, we can actually see how they feel. So we use GSR, which is galvanic skin response, which basically is measuring your sweat. We measure your eyes, we measure your pupil dilation, we have facial recognition, so we can see 20 odd points in your face and what they're doing. So right now, Bird, I can see that you're a little bit confused and also
curious. My face says it all, doesn't it?
And I don't even need the lab, but that's the magic. That's the magic in what we can do. So what we're looking for is very, very minor movements in a person. So for instance, if you're using, Zara or ASOS and you're buying something online, so if you're buying some Lycra clothing, for instance, you could when I see somebody using this, and we can pick up the slightest movements in the brow, so we could have a very, very slight brow furrow, and that indicates some level of confusion that the person's feeling. And really what we do is we take these sorts of areas of interest and areas of frustration, and we turn those into tests. We then implement tests onto people's websites, and then we're increasing the conversion rate of these large e-commerce stores. So that's a little bit about what Space Between do.
Right, okay. So,
wow. Would that ever look confusion if I was looking at Lycra? It would be like, why am I on this page?
That's
really interesting. I'm genuine. Go on.
It is, but it's also a little bit scary.
It is.
I'm kind of feeling now I might have to surf the web wearing a balaclava to protect myself.
This isn't something you can do just, so I can't do this for everyone visiting a website.
Okay,
so,
good,
yeah, yeah.
Good. I suddenly thought, oh God, they're watching now. Not yet,
they are, but they will be.
They say put something over your webcam.
I was just
you, isn't it?
Yeah. I was just going to rush home and delete my web browsing history there.
That's for you to worry about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, for what we do, we get people in. So say, for instance, if we're working with Zara, we want to find people that fit their demographic, and we get those users into the office to use the lab, and we hook them up to the couple of sensors that we use for them, so we can actually measure them. There's nothing we can do when you're in the comfort of your own home.
Okay, so you're not watching us.
No.
So do you pay these people to come in?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
like secret shoppers.
It's very much like the e-commerce version of secret shopping. Yeah. So whereas in stores you get people that would turn up and then they'd leave and they'd rate the store, it's very much the e-commerce equivalent of that. People don't know what they're there to do. They don't know what, you know, we just sit them down with a task. It might be book a holiday on this website, and at the end of it we'll look at that and we'll analyze it and we'll ask them questions about what they were thinking and feeling. For instance, a really, really common one for like a holiday website is you get to the payment page of a website, and generally you've been seeing a per person price. When you get to the payment, you then see the whole total.
Yeah.
And what you generally see then is the look of fear.
Sadness,
and maybe a little bit of joy. Yeah. But what we can tend to see in those sorts of instances is if you're seeing a price and your brow furrows and you're looking a bit angry, a bit confused, a bit poorer maybe than you felt a little bit before, we can actually tell that you probably don't have enough information. Because the product is probably very well priced. Mm. It probably is exactly how it should be, but you don't know that you're getting butler service and it's all inclusive and it's in Barcelona or Jamaica or, you know, wherever it is you want to go. Mm. So understanding how people feel when they're using these products is kind of the only way that we can help get more people using the products, more people purchasing and more people flying through.
Yeah.
But the lab itself can be used. I mean, we use it traditionally, we use it in the e-commerce world, so for any purchases online. But we've actually been speaking to solicitors about using it for contracts.
Right.
Because it's a similar sorts of process. If you're reading a contract, if there's two sentences that define the same clause in a contract, and one of them makes me feel a bit uptight and one of them makes me feel a little bit more relaxed, then the value there is that by picking the one that makes somebody feel more relaxed, you're more likely to get your contract signed, you're more likely to push it through. So the use cases, it's people, you know, and that's the thing I find interesting.
Is the outcome of this to save, so say for example I've got a webinar, I'm putting a webinar together, of course we know that's a sales funnel for me to sell either an online program at the end or my one-to-ones, or for example that. Are you saying then it would save time in me keeping on doing the webinar, adjusting it. If I gave you the webinar, we put somebody in front of you, you could say, look, this is where you need to tweak.
Exactly that, yeah. So a big part of what we do after it is what we call conversion rate optimization, which is literally that, it is that tweaking. We call it pushing the needle. So we, if we say, if we take a website or anything, you know, if we take your webinar, if we're taking anything that has a conversion rate of 1%, we then put people through and we find that here's an area where people get confused, upset, just generally don't understand what's going on, then we can tweak that area and we can make amendments that will then make it easier for that person to come back. I mean, everybody knows it when shopping online, you can buy your product from anywhere. Especially if you, you know, if I'm buying a shirt, if I'm buying jeans, whatever it is, I can buy them from hundreds and hundreds of different stores. And really, the only thing that's going to make the difference is how easy that website or that store is to use. So, these are the kinds of areas that people need to start focusing on.
Where did you come up with this idea?
So we've taken lots of different technology that's been around for a long time. We use EEG, we use heart rate sensing. You know, these are things that you could potentially have used before if you've ever been to a hospital or anything like that. But we're taking these technologies where we can map brain waves, we can map heart rate, we can map pupil dilation, and we're kind of combining them into a unique way, which means that we're allowed to see this.
Mm. Wow.
That is fascinating. That is truly fascinating.
You have to come down, and you'll all have to come down and have a look.
I would love to.
I want to see this.
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to try and fool it. I want to make my heart race over something I'm not interested in, or something. I don't know.
I mean, that's the interesting part of it. It's interesting to have a play with it. It's interesting to see what comes out of it. Yeah. I think it's really. We had somebody using it the other day, and they were using part of the website, and they were just coming down for a demo. So it's much more informal. We have a chat when it's going on, whereas normally it's a bit more silent. And they went, oh, I really don't like this. And I just went, yeah, I know. And it kind of made someone go, like, oh, don't worry. I know. You don't need to tell me. It's fine. You carry on. I know you don't like that. Yeah. You know.
So when somebody doesn't like something, give us the signs and symptoms of their of that diagnosis.
I mean, the easiest one to explain is eye movement. Mm. So your eyes, if there's something on a website that you're not, if you don't understand, it's a really easy one to start. You'll look at it very, very quickly and you'll look away and you'll continually look back at it. So that's just one sign. If you're looking at something over and over again, generally something there doesn't make sense. Your eyes don't register it enough to kind of put it to the back of your mind and let you carry on with what you're doing. Yeah. Facial expression is another really, really good one. If you're, you know, eyebrows up slightly, eyes wider or anything like that, you can start seeing these sorts of cues.
And you can't really mask that, can you? Those body movements are involuntary. Even if you try really hard not to, you know, to keep a deadpan face, you can't actually because you make micro movements.
So it's like micro movements, exactly. Yeah. Some of these will be fractions of a second that even if I was sitting in front of you, I wouldn't be able to notice. Mm. But the machine that we use can pick those up. And they're the really valuable bits because you'll tell me if you don't like something, but there's parts that you'll get confused about. You're less likely to tell me that. You're less likely to go, I just didn't understand that, Luke. You might not even know you didn't understand it as well. That's another interesting part.
Because it is interesting. I can't remember the actual statistic, and it was probably made up anyway, but they do say that a lot of face-to-face communication is actually body language.
Yeah.
And it is the innate ability to read micro signals that really people relate to. You know, if you're talking to somebody, you go, you're not happy with this, are you? You can tell. They don't have to say anything. They just look at their face and you go, you're not happy about this. So I get that. And I really do see that. And it's interesting because, as you said earlier, if you just ask someone to fill in a survey afterwards, you get the typical British response, well, it was okay. Yeah. And people don't mean that at all. Quite often they go, I was scared. You know, what's it? You know, by this or whatever. And I had a classic of the genre that you just identified with pricing the other day. I was trying to do something fairly simple, and I went into a website that was highly recommended, and it said this costs £12.99, and you have to pay for it now. So I paid my £12.99. Having paid my £12.99, it then said there will be a further small additional cost. Yeah, and then. When they came back, that small additional cost was an extra £109. Yeah. So your machine would have gone bonkers with my body language at that point.
I think there's some things we don't even need a machine to tell you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. As I'd thrown the computer out the window, it was probably a fairly strong signal about what I felt. Absolutely. No, I really get that. And, we're kind of fast running out of time, so I want to make sure we get. So, how long have you been going, Luke? And where are you based? And some of those bits and pieces.
Yeah, so we're based in Ashford in Kent. We've been going for about 2.5 years now, so we're still a relatively new company. Myself and the other two founders, Marcus and John. Our background is all web development. We're geeks. At
you're
the
geeks,
heart of
basically.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah, hipster geeks they are, ladies and gentlemen.
Smiley, yeah. Happy geeks that are helpful. Yeah. But yeah, the reason we came together. So Marcus and I worked at another company in Kent, Holiday Extras. And we were working as part of the web development team there, and we had lots of conversations around how we felt like people should be treated in terms of customers outside of them specifically, but how we'd like to treat customers. And we kind of started forming the basis of an agency kind of culture that we found really, really interesting. And I met John, the other founder. I met him at a tech networking event, which is a little bit different to a normal networking event. There's no business cards. There's a lot more beer and a lot more pizza. and again, we had this same sort of synergy. So we caught up at the pub and started having conversations. And we were lucky enough to be offered the chance to take on some web development for another company in Ashford, which was our first customer, still our customer today. And yeah, since there we've kind of grown from then. We started as a team of three. We're now a team of 15.
Wow!
Okay. So we've grown quite quickly in that relatively short period of time. But yeah.
Fantastic.
We met at the awards. We've all met at the awards.
So what award did you guys win?
So we actually won two awards. We won the Startup Award and the Creative and Digital Award. And right. I mean, if anybody had seen my face on the night or spoken to me before, I was absolutely adamant we weren't going to win. I loved the fact we got to have a nice day, like a nice evening out with the team. We took everybody that could make it. We had some drinks and we really enjoyed ourselves. And for me, that was enough. But it was hugely. I think it was the best thing for me was the fact that I tell the team every day that they're absolutely amazing and what they do is really, really makes a difference. And I think it was really, really valuable, as you said earlier, that somebody else could tell them this, because I'm obviously going to tell them they're great. I'm really proud of them, but somebody else can say to them, you're amazing. And I think that was it was really, really good. Not to mention, you know, chatting to everybody in the room and getting to speak to everybody and then winning it just completely. Topped it all off, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a shout out for how people can find out more about Space Between.
Yeah, so spacebetween.co.uk is our website. You can find out more about what you do there. And actually, we're going to tweet out a competition to win a biometric assessment of your website. So if you're interested in using the lab and getting a bit of insight for it, we'll BB Bonker will.
Yeah, do. And then we'll tweet it as well. What's your Twitter handle?
I'm Luke Frake, and Space Between is space_between.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll tweet that out and we'll get you looking at that, because that's a fascinating thing.
Can I quickly ask, so you've got all these people coming in, what's the biggest thing that you're seeing from all this information you're gathering? What do we do with our websites? Give us one thing to do.
I would say, bear in mind that when you're building your website, people don't read in the way that you expect them to read. So a really, really interesting one we had the other day, we had somebody coming in and they were watching a video on a blog post while they were reading the article, and their eyes were literally jumping between the video and the article as they were kind of reading and watching at the same time. And I think just be very, very aware that the customers and the people visiting your website, their attention span is very, very short. So try and give them as much information as quickly and simply as possible.
Cool. Thank you for that, Luke. Thank you so much for coming on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. And we love what you're doing. And we'll tweet out the competition. We're almost at the end of the show. I've got to flash through a couple of things that I must mention. I've got another tweet from another new listener called 50_challenges on the Twitter. And they say, we'd love a shout out, Vanilla Web, on the Business Bunker. We're a growing community helping those approaching midlife to redefine their next chapter and to do more. Why are they telling me? Anyway.
How do you know where your midlife is?
No idea.
Yeah, I'm way past 50 anyway. 50_challenges. Do give them a follow. It sounds interesting. Friends, stags, hens and countrymen. Stuck for ideas from a memorable day full of excitement and fun. Look no further. With over 25 years experience, Arena has developed a wide range of activities, whether it's for a birthday, a stag or hen party, social club, family celebration, or in fact because it's half term this week, why not try one of our activities? Quad biking, clay pigeon shooting, team tasks and assault course, archery, paintballing, Honda pilots, reverse steer Suzuki's, geese herding. Have some of that. Geese
Why
herding.
Not?
And 007 bond days. Email Peter at arenapursuits.com if you want to find out more about it. We're kind of at the end of the show for another week. We've got there. I want to tell you about what's coming up on our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, this Friday at 11 o'clock, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. And her co-host this week is Mr. Chris Pollard. And their guest is Lindsay Attenborough. And Lindsay is from Juice Film Productions.
and she's their guest, and I do believe she's a member of the Attenborough family of Blue Panic fame. So that's the Business Bunker Extra Show this Friday at 11 a.m. with Amanda and Chris and their guest Lindsay Attenborough. So do tune in for that. I'd like to say a big thank you to everybody that's tweeted, emailed, and engaged with us today. Coming up later on Channel Radio, and this is channelradio.co.uk/1, because 2 is going off the air for a couple of hours while we do some electrical work in the studio. But on Channel Radio 1 at 5 o'clock, you can hear Mr. Craig Avery, the ladies' favourite, the man with the stripy socks, with a two-hour show talking about celebrity interviews and music. At 7 o'clock is Mr. Joey Whaler with a rockabilly show. And then, as always, on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George. 1, 2, 3,
get down! Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
As always, on a Tuesday evening on channelradio.co.uk/1, we finish off with the wonderful Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture show here on Channel Radio. So that's it for another week. I'd just like to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, the lovely folks at Creative Motion, to my co-host, the wonderful Miss On A Bike.
Thank you, and you.
Thank you, Bird. It's good to see you again, and good luck with your new line of apparel. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful, and I expect you in one of these fine weeks to turn up wearing some as a demonstration.
Don't be silly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I promise not to whip-wee you or whatever.
I can't even speak. Go on.
Yeah, okay, cool. So thank you for that, and I want to say a huge thank you to our guests today, the lovely Annette Bunn of Rift Accounting.
I don't feel like a guest. I turn up.
No, you do come in quite often, but yeah, it's always good to see you, and you always bring us some really interesting stuff, Nettie. So thank you for that. And this week, you couldn't really have asked for more, but to bring us someone on an outside broadcast from a wet Herne Bay pier, tossing pancakes and talking about an unconference. Now, you don't hear that every week, do you?
You really don't. And you don't. There's a reason why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, that is unusual, isn't it? Let's be honest here.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, unconventional. Unconference. Yes. Do go along to the Unconference at the Westgate Hall on March the
15th.
So see you there, hopefully. And to our two lovely studio guests, Laura Turner of Noted in Style and Mr. Luke Freight of Space Between. Thank you so much, all of you, for contributing to today's show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another Business Bunker show. Until then, have a fabulous week. We'll see you all soon. Do take care. And remember, if you want to talk to us, BBunker is the hashtag. But see you soon. Bye. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.